This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to Kermit Brashear, who's the speaker of the Nebraska unicameral and the principal author of the bill there regarding municipal broadband. Welcome to Utopia Media's Broadband Over Powerline World.
Thank you, Mark.
Tell us just a little bit about your position and about the uniqueness of the Nebraska unicameral.
Well, it's the smallest legislative body in the nation because we only have one house. We have what in effect is the Senate, the House having been disbanded back in the Depression era decision to be unicameral. We have 49 senators as they are denoted, and we are nonpartisan. There is no, obviously, nonpartisan. It's no party discipline. So basically, the committee chairs and the speaker are the leadership.
Okay, and you're the speaker of that group.
I am the speaker. I served 8 years as chairman of the Judiciary Committee and then was elected speaker.
Okay.
At the beginning of the session.
All right. The legislature is adjourned now for the year?
We are adjourned. We had our 90-day long session, as we call it. We have a long session followed by a short session, 90 days versus 60 days, and that constitutes the biennium.
Okay. Tell us about the origins of LB 645.
Well, it's an issue that you wouldn't be interested in all the background, but I have, for all my years of service, been one who has been looking at our unique character as a public power state. We are exclusively public power in Nebraska. That was another Depression-era innovation as when we went to the one-house nonpartisan legislature.
Right.
And with that being the case, you have the issue of public versus private. Economic development and job creation have always been aspects of my legislative agenda. So you come to the point with technology moving forward, are we going to do it with the private sector, the public sector, a competition between the two, and what are the ground rules?
Right. And what
that was what LB 645 was designed to do, and that's
okay.
What it will do.
And what are the ground rules as specified
well,
in that
bill?
Well,
the ground rules are that public power, which, as I said, is the only methodology used in Nebraska, will not enter into retail. First of all, they disavowed any interest in doing so, so fine, we might as well codify it into law. So retail is banned.
And what we're talking about here in terms of retail is the retail provision of broadband internet services
to the consumer,
either businesses or residential areas.
That's correct.
Okay,
that's correct.
And is that and the retail provision of that service either by wireless or broadband over power line or satellite or DSL is prohibited to all the public power companies and the cities and towns of Nebraska under this bill.
That's correct.
Okay. And what about the wholesale provision of infrastructure to make that possible?
The wholesale provision, there is a moratorium except for that which is now in place.
Is there much in place now?
Not much.
Okay.
That's exactly why I was among other reasons, I was motivated to bring this. We need to develop our public policy, and we're focusing on the prohibitions and so on, but there's the study aspect of this is the most important.
I was going to get that in a second.
To finish the moratorium is a three-year moratorium. Everybody stays where they are with regard to wholesale.
Okay, and as to the task force, what's it called, who's on it, and what's its mission?
You know, actually, I don't recall if it had some fancy name, but we referred to it throughout the debate as Task Force, so
right.
Its official name escapes me. It has 15 members. We have members from the Public Service Commission who regulate telephone and the like. We have people from the Power Review Board. So it is the various component parts of the total of all interested parties,
con. And what questions are they supposed to answer or
the
areas?
Questions are set forth in the bill, which I don't have before me, but they're exactly what you would expect. What should we have? How should we do it? What are the alternatives? What changes would we make in our public policy with regard to providing it, public or private, et cetera?
And when's that task force supposed to report?
December 1st of 2007.
Of 2007, so about 2.5 years from now.
Right.
Okay, and at that time, are they empowered, or is the legislature likely to consider any changes to the provisions of LB 645, or will those recommendations take place within the context of those regulations set out in that bill?
Well, I think, as with any statutory law, it's always subject to change
right.
in the next session of the legislature.
Right.
The object of doing the ban was because everybody agreed to it. The object of doing the moratorium was so that nobody would take advantage of the interim or intervening period, and the object of doing the study was to figure it out so we don't sink a lot of money in plant and then end up, you know, having to have the taxpayers bail it out.
Okay. Now, there's a provision that power companies can build dark fiber and do something with that. What's the regulation about that?
They are clearly entitled to use it for their own internal management purposes or for the purposes for which they were created.
Okay.
In furtherance of, for instance, the subdivisions of government, in furtherance of their own purposes. Nobody's trying to prohibit progress.
Right.
We're trying to coordinate it.
Right. Now, could you say a little bit about the politics of this bill? Was it passed unanimously? Who liked it? Who didn't like it? And what was the political story here?
Well, in our system, 38-8 on final passage and signed by the governor is a pretty good indication that we had considered the interests of all the parties, or it wouldn't have gone that way.
Right.
It had tough floor debate. It had tough referencing to committee, course out of committee. I amended it several times in consultation with those who were pro and con. That's a part of how we legislate.
What were the principal arguments made in favor of doing it, and what were the principal arguments made against it?
Well, the principal arguments in favor are my concern that, and the concern of the proponents, that we not have every political subdivision and public power entity out spending all the money it could spend just because it had it.
Right.
To create infrastructure that would create overcapacity that we wouldn't need, then coming along and saying, you private contractors which have your own plant investment, you ought to use ours. And the private enterprise or private capital side would say, no, we don't want to use yours. We want to own our own plant structure. And then they'd say, okay, we'll create a nickel-dime operation here and whip you at your own game, having used taxpayer-subsidized, tax-free, or tax-beneficial status to achieve that competitive advantage on you.
Okay, and what was the argument made from the opponents of the...
And the argument by the opponents was simply that you should not in any way inhibit this progress, and an all-out competition would be beneficial to the people, and the state.
What can you say about the level of broadband penetration in Nebraska now, either in the rural areas, the denser populated cities, and overall?
The indication, I'm not going to propose to be an expert, the indication is that you have internet connectivity anywhere in this state that you want it. There are no unserved areas. Some of it may be satellite in the most remote and sparsely populated areas of our rural portions.
Did you know
in the cities, there's no question, it's everywhere competitively.
Is it provided more by telephone companies offering DSL or cable companies offering cable modems?
Both.
And what, if any, was the involvement of the cable companies and the phone companies in this debate? Were they strong supporters of the bill?
They were fully involved, but you got our largest cable system would be Cox,
right.
Which is also the majority telephone subscriber provider in Omaha, Nebraska.
Right. And did they take a public position on this?
They were in favor of the bill.
Okay. And finally, I did.
And so was Quest. The telephone providers were supportive.
And
all of them.
And the cable companies. And what about the public power utilities themselves? What was their position? Did they have a single position?
They opposed it in the beginning, but I think we accommodated most of their requests. That's why they're very popular. They're very excellent services. But again, 38 to 8 tells you, I think, what you want to focus on.
Okay.
Only 8 people voted against the bill.
Right. Now, I did an interview yesterday with a state senator in Maine, Lynn Bromley, on the subject of Maine's recent decision to confirm the right of municipalities in Maine to offer wireless broadband services to their residents, to actually own and operate the services themselves. And I asked her to compare Maine and Nebraska, and I wanted to ask you the same thing about why you think the legislature and governor in Maine implemented a policy that confirms the rights of cities to offer broadband wireless service to their constituents, whereas Nebraska went the opposite way. And after you say that, comment it however you'd like about what you think the implications might be for economic development in the two states on the basis of that difference.
Well, I don't think I'm qualified to compare to Maine. I've only visited there. I don't know anything about the political background or anything else.
Okay.
In the state of Nebraska, you have and have had for decades high quality public power, which is the only source of power, and it's a very strong lobby. It's a very popular service.
Right.
But nevertheless, everybody recognizes that it is public power. It is tax advantaged substantially in terms of investment and, you know, in lieu of tax payments.
Right.
And it's not fair competition. I think people have a pretty high regard for our telephone and cable providers also. So it sort of fit the motif, okay, public power is public power, but that doesn't mean we now have public cable or public broadband.
Right. So given this decision, do you think that this is going to be conducive to the spread of broadband to a wider...
Absolutely, because the private capital had indicated it wasn't going to be in a disadvantageous competition with the public sector.
And now that it isn't, you're expecting there'll be good results in terms of a broader penetration of broadband in the state.
That's right, because we'll make the advances, the investments in technology.
All right. I want to thank you for making the investment in time to talk to us today on Utopia Media's Broadband Over Powerline World, and wish you a lot of success with the technology and other aspects of development in Nebraska.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Mark.
Bye.